Billy Batson's Halloween Bash, written by Saltwater Selkie and read by Litra. A DCU Justice League Unlimited Shazam fanfic, rated Gen. Summary. The trouble started when Billy decided he was going to dress up as Batman for Halloween. Or, Billy's favorite Halloween party ever, the chaos that results, and its impact on his identity reveal 10 years later. Or, two Batmans, a 10-year-old, and a slice of pumpkin pie. The trouble started when Billy decided he was going to dress up as Batman for Halloween. Look, he was 10 years old. His decision-making capabilities weren't fully mature, and in some corner of his brain, he kinda knew that. But when he weighed the pros and cons, the pros came out on top, by a landslide. It wasn't Billy's fault Shazam's physique was absolutely perfect for a superhero costume. It wasn't Billy's fault he happened to have access to the Watchtower, or that he knew where Batman kept his emergency do-not-touch-under-pain-of-death suit. This designation was implied, not explicit. Even Billy, convinced as he was of the genius of the costume idea, probably wouldn't have pushed it if the suit had actually been labeled as such. It also wasn't Billy's fault that the chance at such a good pun was too tantalizing to pass up. What did the world expect? His last name was Batson, gosh darn it. Batson! Plus, Billy had sneaked a peek at the League holiday party RSVP list over Lantern's shoulder at a table a few weeks ago. A red X had been slashed across the page next to Batman's name. Billy didn't know what kind of wacko would miss what promised to be the party of the century, but no Batman meant no one to stop him. The gears in his brain were turning even then, ideas running rampant through his head. If he'd been the type to go for a maniacal laugh, it would have been a good time to try it out. So here he was, on October 31st, sneaking into the Watchtower's store of backup gear. He always felt a little awkward when he tried to be sneaky as Shazam. It wasn't that he wasn't comfortable in his body. He'd gotten used to being twice as big as usual. Knew the limits. There weren't many. And his strengths. There were a buttload of them. But he didn't often sneak as Shazam. That was a Billy forte. He made his way casually into the depths of the Watchtower, pressed his hand against the door of the storeroom, and watched it register his handprint as a Leaguer. Then he let the door scan his eye. Then he answered a couple of security questions to prove he wasn't being mind-controlled, cloned, or body-swapped. The League hadn't yet figured out a secure failsafe in the event of a hero getting turned evil with their knowledge intact, but Superman had argued that the risk of no backup weapons at all outweighed the risk of any hypothetically evilizing machine, and Batman and Wonder Woman had agreed, and that was that. The door swished open, and Billy stepped inside. The storeroom was the kind of place you expected to be massive. In reality, though, it was little more than the size of two storage closets packed back to back. Of course, every spare inch was crammed with weaponry. If he wasn't so focused on his goal, he'd have a mild freakout about how cool half the things in here were. From an enormous Greek sword with a wicked edge, Wonder Woman's, to a hefty backup mace, Hawkman's, to a rack of batarangs, self-explanatory. And there it was. Tucked away in the back, folded so that you could only see the Bat logo on the chest. Batman's backup costume. Billy pushed down a giggle. Now wasn't the time. The suit fit better than he'd expected it to. Maybe there was some sort of mojo magic helping him out in that regard, though he'd never thought to question if fitting into clothes was a built-in part of his powers. He nearly wiggled out of his skin from the sheer cool factor as he pulled the black, spiked gauntlets over his fists. The cowl was the final touch. "Gosh almighty," Billy announced to the empty room. "This is going to be so good." He settled the reinforced fabric over his head, grinning. It was a little big. When he tilted his head forward or back, the helmet shifted with it. But that was okay. That was fine. He could deal with it. He kind of wanted to find a mirror. But the party was probably about to start. The mirror could wait, Billy decided. He wanted to get to the party. He zoomed out of the storage closet so fast he almost forgot to make sure to shut the door behind him. They were hosting the party in the main conference room, the one with the enormous oval table that rose from the floor when the Leaguers needed to discuss world-ending catastrophes, and the massive plex windows that let them look out towards the earth below. Billy had been struck silent the first time he'd looked through those windows, his eyes widening as he took in the sight of the blue marble that was his home. Somewhere on its green-blue-white surface, he knew, was his school and his friends and the dog that always barked at him through a fence on his way home. He liked to think the dog was just taking its time warming up to him. It'd been 6 months, but he would swear it was starting to go at it with less enthusiasm. Since the first time, he'd grown used to the sight. But as he turned the corner and entered the room, he stopped in his tracks for three entirely different reasons. The first was that the room had been absolutely and completely transformed. Halloween lights shaped like tiny orange jack-o'-lanterns were strung up along every available wall. Some of them taped up so high, one of the flighted supers must have put them up there. Someone had set up an apple bobbing station in the corner, two giant buckets with fruit floating along the water's surface. A long table at one end of the room boarded bowls filled with candy corn, peeled bananas with chocolate chips pressed into their soft flesh so they look like ghosts, blood-red punch, and, notably, a pumpkin pie with a swirl of whipped cream on top. The second thing Billy noticed was that everyone was staring at him. This was, he would admit, kind of what he'd been aiming for. There was Wonder Woman, dressed like Rosie the Riveter, jean jacket straining over her biceps. Black Canary in a casual costume, a pair of black cat ears on a headband holding her hair back. Superman going full out, straw poking out of his sleeves and neck of his flannel shirt, and a triangle nose painted on to turn him into a scarecrow. And Green Lantern in a Luigi costume, of all things! Paired with Flash wearing a Mario hat. Billy didn't want to know how that had happened. More heroes, too, sipping cups of punch or paused mid-conversation. And then there was the third thing. The third thing was Batman. Not Billy, who thought he made a rather fantastic fake Batman. He was talking about the real Batman, who was absolutely 100% not supposed to be at this party! The real Batman was not in costume, or at least not more than he normally was. The real Batman's cowl did not shift forward when he tilted his head to stare Billy down. The real Batman was, it seemed, incandescent with rage. "Shazam," the Batman said through gritted teeth, voice gravelly and deep. "Is that my emergency suit?" It was not phrased as a question. Sometimes Billy's science teachers did the same thing. She'd say things like, "George, are you trying to get yourself killed? Shauna, did you eat a page out of that library book?" And you knew she wasn't asking if George had been trying to die when he'd fit four lollipops into his mouth at once, the white sticks all poking out of his mouth. Or asking if Shauna had consumed a page of spells from the book about witches so that she could become magical from the inside out? No, they weren't questions at all, because Billy's science teacher already knew the answers. She just wanted the kids to have to squirm in shame before they fessed up. That was the same exact tone Batman had right now. Billy considered his options. He decided on play dumb. "No," he said decisively. "I got it at Spirit Halloween." If he was being entirely honest, he didn't even know if Spirit Halloween sold Batman costumes. There had been a big fuss with licensing and some famous lawsuit that Billy hadn't paid attention to before he'd met the other heroes. They still talked about it sometimes, offhandedly mentioning things like unauthorized use of Superman's crest, or disdainfully, why must the mortals make my war garb sexy? He knew there were plenty of people who dressed up as heroes, but a big name store like Spirit Halloween selling costumes? Fascinating, Batman said. I could have sworn Spirit Halloween's Batman costumes. Yes, Billy thought, ecstatic. Didn't have a single stitch of the levels of technology, craftsmanship, and fabrication that goes into one of my suits. Including the shock paneling I can clearly see guarding your abdomen. No, Billy thought, despondent. He didn't know what he would have done, what he was supposed to do with that comment. Everyone was waiting for him, eyebrows raised and gazes pinning him to the spot. It couldn't have been more than a second or two, but it was the worst second Billy had ever lived through in his 10 long years on Earth. Or in this case, on a space station in Earth's orbit. It was at exactly that moment that someone completely unexpected saved his bacon. He jerked to the right as something crackled in his left ear, loud. He noticed with a jolt that Batman had reached up to hold two fingers to his cowl. That whatever line Batman was tuned into by virtue of being in Batman's suit, Billy could now hear too. If Batman had been paying any attention to Billy by that point, the ownership of the suit would have been even more irrefutable than it clearly already was. But Batman, like Billy, was focused entirely on what he was hearing. It was a woman's voice, a hero, Billy assumed, that he didn't immediately recognize.
Oracle to Batman. B, we need you down here. In fact, bring your friends if you can.
The woman was breathing hard. Her voice was calm, level.
It's a code red. We've got Poison Ivy, Scarecrow, Cheetah, Luthor, Black Adam. Too many villains to count. They just took down Metropolis.
Billy's adrenaline spiked. It was, he considered later, the first time in his life he might have been glad supervillains were threatening to take over the world. Superman had tilted his head just barely, listening in as soon as he realized Batman was receiving a broadcast. With a sigh so exaggerated it made the straw on his costume flutter, he looked at the room.
Duty calls, he said with a sheepish smile and a little shrug. Happy Halloween.
Fighting in Metropolis felt almost weird after being so used to Fawcett. The gleaming towers of glass and steel, the wide glass windows and the clean streets were, Billy supposed, likely more jarring to real Batman than they were to him. There hadn't been time to change out of their Halloween getup, as Wonder Woman was liable to say, a second's delay is a life lost. And it made for a funny sight. Superman swooping through the air as a scarecrow, and Green Lantern punching a villain so much like Luigi, Billy almost expected coins to pop out of the villain's suit. Wonder Woman lassoed Poison Ivy? Some civilian dumb enough to be standing out with their phone upraised, videotaping the entire encounter, yelled, "We can do it!" And then there was Billy. Batman. Batman. Real Batman. And, inexplicably, another Batman, whom Billy realized was a transformed Martian Manhunter only when he took a bad hit and shifted green for a moment of shock. There was this moment in the heat of battle, amidst shouts and strikes and blood pumping, when it was Billy and Batman back to back. A spear of metal meant for Batman's heart shot forth from a villain's hand. If it had been real Batman and not Shazam in Batman's clothing, it probably would have skewered him all the way through. Billy wasn't sure. He didn't know exactly what Batman's powers were. He wasn't sure anyone did. But no hero wore this much armor unless they were at least a little soft and squishy underneath. Luckily for real Batman, Billy took the hit instead. It slammed through the armor and into his side, but with Shazam powers, barely left a scratch. The villain, some silver-clad dude Billy hadn't bothered to remember, stared at him in utter shock. But
the villain stuttered.
But...
Ha ha, Billy said. You said but. Then he punched the villain once, hard. And the would-be Batman killer, or injurer at least, because Billy also wasn't sure Batman could die, went tumbling head over heels into the nearest skyscraper. The woman in Billy's ear was saying something again, and he caught the very end of it. He'd been focused on other matters.
Zan just saved your ass, B,
the woman said, and then there was a voice Billy recognized joining hers.
Thanks, Batman said, casting a glance over his shoulder at Billy.
That was all he said. It made Billy feel like he was floating on air, which, to be fair, he was literally doing, for the rest of the fight. Afterwards, when the villains were all locked up in their various inescapable prisons, which made Billy want to pull a Princess Bride and tell the guards, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Most of the heroes ended up back on the watchtower. The apple-bobbing water was ice-cold and the pumpkin pie was cold, but Supergirl flashed the pie tin with a burst of laser vision, and they split it up into thin slices that they ate with their hands around the table.
It's his dad's recipe, Supergirl commented, jutting her chin towards her cousin.
Billy got whipped cream on his nose. He'd pulled the cowl down from his head when they'd gotten back. It was getting in the way as he tried to shove as much candy as he could fit in his mouth. And he got Batman staring at him. He paused, three Tootsie Rolls and a handful of nerds shoved into his gullet, and managed to mumble,
What?
It sounded like a roof. But Batman was a genius. Billy was sure he could figure it out. Superman nudged Batman with an elbow.
Got to admit, B, he looks like you.
Batman grunted, a miserly noise somewhere between frustration and defeat. He'd removed his gauntlets to eat, though not his cowl, and his thick-fingered, scarred-knuckled hands tightened around his slice of baked heaven. There was the briefest moment before he took another bite of Superman's pie, and then his shoulders relaxed infinitesimally.
Fine, he said. You get off for stealing the costume this time. Never again.
Billy must have been grinning too wide because Batman added,
You put it back tonight, and don't you get whipped cream on the collar.
Billy had already gotten whipped cream on the collar. When Batman wasn't looking, he surreptitiously sucked it out. There was no way Batman would ever be able to tell. Although, they probably didn't call him the world's greatest detective for nothing. That, Billy decided, was not worth worrying about too much. He went back for a second slice of pie. 10 years later, when Billy finally told the team the truth, revealed to the Leaguers that he'd been working with them from before puberty hit until after, Batman stared at him for a very, very long time. This was after a hubbub of exclamations. Heroes Billy had known for half of his life berating him or apologizing for not realizing. A mix of anger and frustration and, for some, a grudging respect. But Batman just stared. After the talk had died down, he said something, very quiet, that Billy only heard because he was listening for it.
That explains it.
Explains what?
Batman tilted back in his chair, intense gaze still on Billy.
Remember the Halloween you dressed up as me?
Even after all these years, Billy still felt a tad nervous at Batman mentioning it. Mostly, he remembered that Halloween with pride. He still had a newspaper clipping of the headline the next morning. A picture of the League fighting together in costume, Halloween-wise, not like their normal costumes. He loved that picture. Loved how he was right in the middle, a mirror of Batman. Loved how it looked like he belonged, because that was back when he wasn't sure he belonged anywhere. Or ever would.
Yeah, he said. I remember it.
You saved my life, Batman said. And then the villain you were up against started stammering, and you laughed, and you told him, you said but. I thought perhaps I'd misheard you, because no hero would be so totally immature as to say something like that in the middle of a fight. Billy did not remember this interaction in the slightest. Nor did he doubt for one moment that it had definitely happened. And he had definitely said it.
"You were radically immature for your age," Batman said,
as if realization had dawned and he wanted everyone else to know.
"You were 10.
Yep.
"You stole my emergency suit when you were 10.
Yup.
"You got whipped cream on my collar when you were 10.
Now that, Billy remembered.
"I plead the fifth."
The look on Batman's face was something Billy was going to remember for the rest of his life. And probably after he died, too. Because Batman looked impressed. Billy had kept the biggest secret of his life from the best detective in the world. And here was another secret. It was the best Halloween he'd ever had. The end.